What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast covering your favorite team in the Bay Area. We are back with what everybody really just wanted this entire time. They didn't care for the playoff previews. They didn't care for us questioning Brent Burns. I don't know. Did they care for Timo?
Not too much.
What is wrong with you people? Grow up. Grow up, listeners. Also, for the record, when we state a fact on the internet, like, Bob outlasts Pete DeBoer. No point was that an endorsement from us, or did we say it was a good thing? The people really meant to seem like they thought that we were saying it's a good thing. Don't know where people got that. It was literally just a statement of fact.
But anyway. Do with it what you want.
Yeah. Apparently, that's what people took away from it. But we're back, and we are profiling the teenagers again. This one is actually like a legitimate teenager. Not even on the borderline. Yeah. No, but like if you're like 18, like Owen Power wasn't a teenager.
Yeah.
That was a grown man.
Grown ass man.
Yeah. This one's a real teenager. This one's a fun teenager.
Profile time.
Yeah, went for the
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me, as always, is co-host JD via Target to my Walmart.
Yes.
I was gonna go with an ultra Canadian reference and then realize that nobody would know what I'm talking about except for me and our guest. We're back. We're just
what
gonna
is
go
the Target. What is the Canadian version of Target? Because they did have Targets in Canada, but they shut them all down. So
yeah, it only lasted for 2 years. It was sick. Yeah. The Canadian version of Target would be, I don't know, Walmart. Yeah. I don't know if we have a Target equivalent. Canadian Tire at this point. I don't know. We don't really have like a ton of, unless I'm gapping, we don't have a ton of like just like giant departments. Because all it is a department store, like a Kmart or a Zellers or something.
Yeah, but it's like the upscale version of those. But what do you do when you just want to walk around the store for 2 hours and windows shop? Yeah,
you go to like the proper shops. You go to like the mall, yeah. Like you go to Nordstrom or you go to the Bay or whatever. I don't know. Yeah, we don't have the same culture as you. Sorry, our drinks are smaller. Like I don't know. We don't get 3 liters of pop as a small Taco Bell was just. I forgot how heinous those things are. But anyway, our guest has literally been sitting backstage, probably trying to get out of here.
Yeah, he left.
We are profiling today. Kevin Korchinski, which is a cool name to say.
It is. I do like it. Korchinski. So if you are new to us, well, the way we do this is we will talk about the prospect, kind of give it a little surface level, and then we will bring on a expert to divulge more about him and why he is worthy of a top 10, potentially top 15, maybe a nice top 11 pick.
What do you mean top 10? 11.
11 pick. Why the Sharks would be interested in Korchinski's services. So let's start with Kevin Korchinski, who plays for the Seattle Thunderbirds. He's a June 2004 baby. So he's still 17, not even 18 yet. So he's definitely on the younger end of the draft here. So left-handed defenseman, 6'2", 185 pounds with the Seattle Thunderbird this year. Really broke out this year in points. Had in 67 games, had 4 goals, 61 and 65 points. Puts him at a nice 0.97 points per game. So far in the playoffs, we're recording this. I think they're either the puck just dropped or they're getting ready to play. In 10 games played, he has 3 goals, 9 assists for 12 points in the playoffs as well. So, he's been definitely, as we'll talk with our guest here, he's been definitely rising up the boards. I think before the draft process, it was looking at it as a potential second round pick. Now he might be top of the first, but sneak into the top 10 here. So without further ado, we have returning
Joel Save on Foods spokesperson.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Joel, how's it going?
Good. I've been in Save On Foods like 3 times, I think. So I'm pretty sure I could be a spokesperson for them now.
Bro, that's about as many times as you need to go into Save On Foods.
I really hope I get a sent a gift card from this.
Yes. Save On, come at us. Joel, why has Kevin Kuczynski been such a fast riser in the draft process? Like, what makes him such a potential, I guess, special prospect?
Well, you know, I think back to some of our other conversations that we've had here is that this there isn't really a lot of certainty in this draft. Opinions on guys are kind of all over the place. And so I think you start to see maybe in the second half some of the, some of the public lists start to really focus in and narrow in on who's been really kind of excelling and who's kind of continued to grow and grow their game. And Kevin has been one who has done that. He's just gotten bigger and stronger. And so the things that he was already doing, he was just able to do at a more dominant level. And the things that people didn't like about his game, they were kind of a little bit to the wayside because he was relying so heavily on his strengths that it kind of made the rest kind of a moot point. So it's just like, well, if you get his strengths out of him, and we can talk about that, then you're getting a really good player.
Now, San Jose famously drafts only defensemen now that are smart and can skate, and then they figure out the rest later. They basically want puck moving defensemen who can play the game of hockey. They don't necessarily need to be big. They don't need to be small. They don't need to anything else. They just want smart puck moving guys. And look at Gannon Larocque. I'm sure you've seen him play now this year because Victoria is not a pile of shit anymore. So people have actually seen him play, but that's kind of the guy they're going for. It kind of seems like Kuczynski is just the linear champion of this kind of line of thinking.
Yeah, a little bit. He's Kuczynski is a very kind of rare defenseman in the way that he moves, the way that he skates, the way that he kind of is. Like Gannon is more of a, he looks like if you threw him in a different kind of sport, he would still be great. Like he's a very natural athlete. Like, there's some guys that are really good at like that in the NHL. They make their way, you know, being a Calgary fan, I got to see TJ Brody for a long time. Like he's just a natural athlete who kind of makes his way and starts to really do well in all sorts of the game. Kevin is, Kevin is a powerful skater. And so what I mean by that is that I don't know if there's anyone in the WHL even now who gets more power from just one push than Kevin is. So when you watch him play and he's in motion and he's pushing up the ice, both with his crossovers and his just like north-south strides, he gets heavy, heavy strides from it. And so what he relies on is when he's pushing into the zone, he makes sure that he gets a few good strides and then he anticipates the play and maneuvers as he, you know, accordingly. And so it's not a lot of like little crossovers, little quick feet, little whatever with him. It's big, powerful strides and then in motion. And so he does his turns, his gaps, his cuts, everything is really, really heavy motions, but they're really well balanced. Two guys that I think that he reminds me of in certain ways, like that there are some similarities there is he's a little bit Shea Theodore. And then he's also a little bit of like what Juuso Välimäki looked like when he played in the WHL. Välimäki's had some hardships. He had a year that he had to miss full of injuries. And so it's really kind of put him behind. But that's kind of a similar type player there, like an offensive, can turn plays around, really smart on their turns, fast hands, smart player.
So you say he's a strong skater. Is that just straight on speed, or is he have the agility and quickness to get from like side to side type of thing, or is he just like from here to there, just boom?
So he's not a very agile skater. Like he can't, he doesn't change. He changes directions in his turns and his pivots more than he does in his, like in his crossovers and his quick feet. And so the worry, like, you know, the worry at the NHL level is that, you know, he's not going to be a top shut down guy. At the next level, like, is, you know, if you're putting him up against some guys like Connor McDavid might get him to cross over his feet, you know, and so he might be able to kind of manipulate that at the blue line. So that's something that he'll have to kind of work on as he gets moved forward, is just a bit of that speed and quickness there. But as you talked about, like if the Sharks are targeting someone who is smart, who has terrific hands, who's a puck moving defenseman, who can transition the puck with both his passing and his feet, Kevin is exactly that.
Interesting. So what was holding him back at the beginning of the season then, if he is this, because that's kind of the way the NHL is going, right? They want smart puck moving defensemen, regardless of size. We see Quinn Hughes ripping it up. So what was holding him back to start the year?
Honestly, in my eyes, not really anything. Like I still thought that he was a top 40 guy, even from the get-go. So it's, you know, it's just about where he's, like I said, where he's learned to leverage his strengths. And so this, his confidence is off the charts. And so when he's moving pucks and he's trying things, he 100% believes it's going to work all the time. So there's some guys that didn't like what he was doing because they thought he was maybe too risk adverse. Whereas like some of the things that he was trying to be able to like stretch passes and passing through little windows, like he's one of those guys that can make really, really terrific seam passes. Like if he sees the smallest gap, he can make a 5-foot saucer pass through that. He can make a pass off the boards. He can do all those sorts of things. And so it's, his hands aren't the problem. His head's not the problem. It's just, his feet need to come. He needs to be just a little bit more agile. And so he has to be just a little bit lighter on his feet sometimes. And because like I said, when he tries to escape plays, like especially in the neutral zone, or even in the defensive zone when he's on recoveries, it's wider turns, wider gaps. If he gets caught at a standstill and he has to like, you know, get 3 to 5 steps of acceleration, guys sometimes close gaps on him. So he looks to try to manipulate the hands and he looks to try to pass his way out of those problems instead of just like really being the most agile player there. But it's workable for sure. Like it's, you have tons of guys at the NHL level who are able to do that and who are able to do that really well. And so it's just like, if you can mitigate those sorts of things, which I think you can at the NHL level, then you have a terrific upside defenseman in Krejcinski who has the potential of running a top power play.
You know what else is workable? Putting Built Bars into your daily diet, potentially maybe a weekly thing. And the good thing about Built Bars is that if you're not really like, I've had protein bars before, don't really like the flavors, they just released a new flavor and it's birthday cake. Who doesn't like birthday cake? Everybody loves that flavor, regardless if it's in cake pop form, birthday cake form, shake form, DQ Blizzard form. Now it's in Built Bar form. And the good thing is here is that it's only about 150 calories. It's got 16 grams of protein and only has 9 grams of sugar in this limited time flavor. So you don't have to feel bad about eating something that tastes so good. Covered in 100% real chocolate, as usual. And if you're still not sold, it actually comes in puff form, which is the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. And again, it's still covered in the 100% real chocolate. And now we can tell you that they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. So don't have a Clif bar, don't have a protein bar, don't have another one, don't have a chocolate bar that's going to be a million calories. Grab a birthday cake puff and go to built.com because they're going to be releasing new flavors all the time. But this is one we got now. We didn't get peeps, but we got birthday cake. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. That was a good one. I got you good.
All right.
Yeah. So JD just got some, I think, but they're like legitimately marshmallows in bar form. So like they're very chewy. So you have to really enjoy the taste of marshmallows.
They're really good.
Is it Bounty? Is that the marshmallowy one?
No, Bounty's the coconut one. What's the marshmallow? I don't know what the marshmallow.
There's one.
Peeps.
Sure.
I'm sure there's one. we have different chocolate bars in Canada. Maybe it's a Saskatchewan thing. Maybe it's a. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it, so that's why it's not coming to me.
It's Saskatoon Berry. What's that pie that you guys have in Saskatchewan?
Oh, we have many pies.
No, the one that's the only Saskatchewan. Like Saskatoon Berry or
yeah, Saskatoon Berry or the
yeah.
Do you eat rhubarb? I don't know.
Yeah, we have rhubarb everywhere else. Yeah, you guys have Saskatoon berries and bunny hugs, and that's it.
What are bunny hugs?
It's a hoodie.
This.
What?
It's only a Saskatchewan thing. Don't ask me.
Okay.
If it has a hood and a pocket in the front, then some people call them bunny hugs because they.
Huh.
But like only in Saskatchewan, nowhere else in Canada. It's really strange. But anyway, so,
yeah, I don't call it that. But go on.
Well, that's because you're normal. It's like when old Canadian people call it a Chesterfield, and it really throws you off when you hear that because nobody under the age of 50 calls it a Chesterfield anymore, which is a couch for everybody else.
Right down the corridor, yeah.
In the foyer. So Krejcinski.
Down in the rumpus room. Go on.
you gotta get your knapsack. I think that's a good Canadian one, too.
Yes. Kevin Krejcinski.
Okay, Kevin Krejcinski. How does he compare? So obviously the top two defensemen in this draft for a long time have been Nemich and Juracek. Is he on their tier? Should he be on their tier? Is he a tier below? Is he clearly above? Who's the guy that scouts left? Sean Farrell? No. Oh, who the other guy is? The fourth defenseman that's in this draft. How does he compare to these guys?
I don't know. I've seen both of them play.
Seamus Casey. Sorry, that was the other guy.
Casey. Yeah, I was in the right region.
I think when people are kind of trying to judge Korchinski, I think they're looking at Mintyukov as well. Like, I think some of the strengths are in both of them. It's just like how they use their power and how they use their hands. So I think it's trying to figure out which one of the, if you want that kind of brand of defenseman, which one of those do you want? So I've kind of often heard those more, but to be honest, like in my talks with some people, both scouting for the NHL and outside, like the opinions are kind of all over the place for a lot of these guys. Like even from the WHL, you've got Korchinski, you've got Owen Pickering, and you have, why is he slipping my mind? Moose Jaw defenseman. I don't know. Names are awful for me, but like you have three very capable NHL players with very interesting builds to them. Like they play a very specific style of play. So I think teams are just going to go, this is the style of play we want. We'll take them. And I've heard like the opinions are kind of all over the place. And even if you don't know, if you're just going best player available, like it's kind of depending on the day, depending on the game that you watch, but I think Korchinski, like my projection for him has always kind of been like, I think he can be a second pairing defenseman with top power play. Mm-hmm. And so I think in this draft, I think like, you know, that's pretty good. Like, I think there's a bit of, as far as like impact, I think you're getting an Evan Bouchard type. Like, I think you're getting more of the offensive type of situations. You're getting someone who is really capable of pushing play and being really smart with puck movement. Maybe not the most, like maybe not the, like a top tier defensive defenseman, but that's the type of impact that you can maybe potentially get.
Defensive defensemen are dumb anyway. We want goals. Speaking
of goals, Denton Matichuk is the
best. Denton Matichuk. Honestly put me on the spot and I'll forget my own name. It's awful.
Joel Henderson here. Speaking of with goals, with he only had scored four. Do you think this is something where he can improve on? Like, how is his shot compared to, you know, like compared to a potential NHL type of shot? Is this something that he needs to work on, or is he just being an assist type of guy? Like, how is he going to produce points, do you think?
So he has a terrific shot. So I think like his four goals is really kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like even when I've watched him in this playoffs here, there's so many times when he gets his shot at 5-on-5. When the puck cycles back to the point and all he needs to do to fire a puck on net is to know that there's a guy there with a stick ready to tip or there's pressure in front. Like he's a guy that like green light if there's a shot line there where he's got a teammate with a stick. And so they love to get pucks through on net. He's the guy that will do it always. And so a lot of his shots and his shot counts come from that, which means that a lot of his shots are not looking to snipe the top corner. They're looking to be on net, to be tipped, to be, you know, to create a little bit of ruckus from the point. But his wrist shot is very strong. His motions in it, especially in stride, is fantastic. He's got a terrific slap shot, both one-timer and like in motion. And he does it like moving both ways. And so he's like, his shot is actually really incredible. And I just think his, like, you know, if he had 10 or 8 or something goals on there, everyone would just be kind of like, yeah, he's probably got a decent shot. And he does. So I think it's one of those where like, he can absolutely even at the NHL level, if he just wound up for a slap shot on a howitzer or the top corner or a crop of a goalie with a little bit of traffic, like he can do that.
It sounds kind of very baby Brent Burns-ish to me, just the way he kind of described it. I mean, I don't expect him to be right Brent Burns, but he's gonna
be playing forward in 4 years.
Yeah, he'll be playing forward in 4 years, and then he'll play forward for half a season, then everyone will just demand that he plays forward even after he wins the Norris. But if you want to maybe bet on Kevin Korchinski playing forward, there's one place you could do that. That would be Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even futures for the NFL. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. So head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I know there's lots of uncertainty in this draft, obviously, outside of Shane Wright's going to go number one. We can just put that down.
Probably, Ottawa's going to make a dumb pick.
What'd you say, Joel?
I said probably, yeah.
Probably. But from there, Devils are two. I really think that they're going to go D just based on the fact that they have a bunch of wingers. They have Hughes. They have Hischier. They could go Cooley. That'd be a great strategy. But D, they have Luke Hughes and then Kevin Ball. So, like, their D could probably be shored up. But we really don't know. Arizona can do whatever they want. Like JD said, their Ottawa's going to take the guy ranked 112th. So we don't know. But if you were an NHL GM in this kind of range, what are you thinking? Are you taking Kevin Korchinski this high? Are you thinking that you're going to be more of a mid-round pick GM that's trying to hope to grab him? Kind of what's your thinking on him going into this draft?
No, I think this is his range. Like, I think I had him – like, I talked about being comfortable, and, like, I put out our rankings for Puck Preps. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I based it off, like I said in my article, was, like, I don't know this draft well enough to give you, like, here's my thoughts on it. So I compared it to last year's draft. And so I think last year's draft, you had a top nine and then he had a few more guys or whatever. So I would be super comfortable taking Korchinski in the 12 to 15 range. And so that was always kind of my range for him for that, but it's a lesser year. Like, and so if you want to tell me that you can see the upside in him at 10, then I get that. Like if he drops to 17 for some reason, then I think that's a great amount of upside for someone who gets him at 17. So it's there really is no sure things in this draft. And the more that I talk to guys, it's just basically like no one's even really sure at one. Like everyone was sure all year. And now it's just like in a year with so much uncertainty and the number one isn't like clear cut in some people's mind, like in the deficiencies, place your bets. And I think with Kevin, I think with Kevin, you know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's basically what I described. And so like if in a couple of years, like if he's 23 years old and he's playing on your second pairing and running your second power play, then that totally makes sense to me.
Is there a spot that's too high for him? Like not going to take him one probably.
Yeah.
Well,
but would you take him two?
So to be honest, like I think once it's, you know, even from the WHL, I think every spot that most guys have people is too high because of the uncertainty for it. You want to have that feeling in your gut when you make a pick that like, we stole him here, or this is good value here. And there isn't really good value. Like in this draft, it's just like, you can take the one that you like, but I think anyone who's picking at six is like, just holding on a little bit. Like,
this is the real, like Gilbert Brulé, Andrew.
Like this is, you know, this is the draft where it's just like the best players in these drafts are going to come out of like pick 17 and 27. Like it's one of those years. So, it just take the risk that you want. Some guys are looking for those more natural athletes that they just feel like they'll mold a bit better. But to me, I think when you can project guys into role positions, and Kevin is one of those guys for me. Like I don't think he's ever going to be a top pairing guy comfortably. Like he could be in the same way that like Mikhail Sergachev or someone, like if he gets to that point, you go, yeah, he's a top pair for us, but like he's got a couple of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like, there's a few guys where, yeah, I just think that's kind of where he lands. Like for me, if he's on my second pair playing 21 minutes a night and running the second power play, I think that's a good. Like I think that's really good. Like it's, how do you feel about Shea Theodore? Like I made that first comparison to, do you want really? Shea Theodore on your top line? Do you want him as your shutdown guy, as your like everything to make a really long puck run? Are you more comfortable with him on your second pair? Like it's kind of a bit of
Shea Theodore is your top second pair guy. So he's like that tweener 2-3 guy, but he's on your second pair. I mean, you're doing something right.
That's where I see the upside of Kevin. And so it has to come with the foot, like with the foot speed agility. Mm-hmm. But I think his strengths help make up for that. And so what he takes out of his game, I think he adds in huge regard before. So I think some people, like I said, the people that kind of had him as a second round pick, you can see the deficiencies and you go, he's got to give me a little bit more if I can really trust him in a role that's like that. And he has. His shot has gotten harder. He's gotten bigger. He's gotten a little bit meaner. And just his motions have been way stronger. And so you can see that I think the pace at the next level, he can be in, but there's, you know, you're gaining a little bit of offense, giving up a little bit of defense, and that's okay.
Defense is dumb anyway, so.
How long before he's in the NHL?
I think he's a guy where
reasonably, obviously, yeah. Well, we can put him in the NHL next year, but
well, see, that's the thing is like he already plays at that pace. So it's just about what you're going to want to do. Like what I would want to do is I would want him to have a year of AHL, to dominate it. And not only that, but just like to get those tweaks to his game, to work on that stuff, that it's just like, here's a little bit here, here's a little bit here. But he is the kind of guy that with the talent and with the kind of like the body he has, he could jump right to the NHL. So I think
His problem is he can't play AHL for another 3 years.
That's the thing. And so that's the thing. And so he might be one of those guys that was the best path for him developmentally. So I think reasonably he comes back and he plays another year in Seattle. And then I think he challenges for an NHL job after that.
Interesting, because San Jose is that 2020 fabled draft class, which we'll make you kiss the ring afterwards. But how good it was. They're coming in now. So Bortle is going to be on the team. Eklund will be on the team, but then Weisblatt, Robbins, Gush and stuff, they're going to be still 1 or 2 years away as they play in the AHL. So he could fit into that timeline where he could come in with those guys, right?
Yep. And I think once again, like you want to bring him in slow.
Yeah.
And to the point where like, if you want to run a second power play where he's running the point or he's just shooting on one of the half walls, like especially on the right side, I think that's good for him. And then just give him 16 minutes a night of just like solid minutes kind of thing. Like, once again, one of the other comparisons is like Evan Bouchard. Like Evan Bouchard has been kind of up and down between the AHL and the NHL with the way that the Oilers have kind of used him, but he has benefited from his time in the AHL. And so I think Korchinski is another one of those guys who, if it ends up going that route where he comes to the NHL and kind of bounces up and down, or they send him or whatever that, I can see that too, but it's only going to make him a better player.
Yeah. I mean, I think the more I think about it, I think the Sharks might be trying to get one of these defensemen, especially because they're prospect pool in the defense, like we like Hatako and we like, you know, some of the other guys, but they don't have this kind of blue chip kind of talent guy. And I don't know if Korchinski would be considered a blue chip, but at least he'd be, you know, a reasonable asset that you spend a high draft pick on him and type of thing. So I know it seems like he can play a little bit of defense, like how he's not like Ryan Merkley back there. Like,
no. I think some of the reasons why people didn't necessarily like him is because he does like to activate. And so there's times when like, you know, the defensive minded defenseman two way in their own zone, they're looking to make sure that their positioning and their gap control and all those things are premier at all times. And sometimes he lets those slip. Like sometimes he just looks for that activation player. He looks for the poke. He wants to turn the play around always. But along the boards, he has
his size and
strength. Yeah, I love it. Let's go.
And so, awesome. So once again, like there'll be some times where like the play ends up the back of your net and you go like, he lost this guy there. But like he wants to push the play. But if you get him along the boards, he's great and physical. He understands how to pin guys in deep to do all those sorts of things. He's really fantastic. So like, I think he is very capable of doing all those defensive things, which is why I'm like, if you wanted to quiet him and you wanted him to play more positional to be a more safer brand, like especially in his own zone, I think he's very capable of doing that. And so it just comes down to the foot speed and the agility that able to adjust to plays. But I think players with his size, you know, there's a lot of defensemen who play who they're not agile. They rely on their heavy pushes. They rely on their edges. They rely on their anticipation. And so he's another one of those guys, I think, that can really do that.
Korchinski, Merkley, let's fire it up. In 2 years from now, just here, you guys go play. We'll just build the defense around the other people over here. Okay, let's get these two questions out of the way then, and we'll get you out of here. What number does he go at? Now that we know the order, it makes it a little bit easier.
Yes.
Easier.
Okay, quote-unquote. Read the order for me. I want to know.
I got it right here. Okay, so Montreal, New Jersey.
Okay.
Arizona.
Yeah.
Seattle at 4.
Okay.
Philly. Columbus at 6. Columbus has.
I'll say this. Yeah. If there is a big splash and something crazy happens, I could see him going to Philly at 5. But.
Okay.
But I don't think he goes that high, but if it happens, I'm going to shrug and smile. But anyways, keep going.
I like it. Ottawa at 7, so hard no.
I like his hedging his own shot. It's something that's very us, hedging our own shots.
Detroit at 8, Buffalo 9, Ducks 10, Sharks 11, Columbus again at 12, Islanders 13, Winnipeg 14, Vancouver 15, Buffalo again at 16, Nashville 17, Dallas 18, LA 19.
Yeah, I think I know mine. My guess is that he goes 10 to the Ducks.
Ooh, him and Drysdale?
Yeah.
That would be scary for everybody else in the Pacific.
Yes.
Like they've had an influx of forwards in the last little while. Like, yeah, say they take Drysdale and stuff too, but like, you know, like I said, one of the comparisons is Shea Theodore. And so I think there's a sense of like, we really liked this player. And if there is that sense of lingering in the organization, I think they have an understanding of what he could be. And so I think that's an option there too. So
anytime you can protect Hampus Lindholm, Josh Manson and Brendan Montour, you got to do it. And Cam Fowler, poor Cam Fowler.
I think that's like, because especially with Drysdale, who's going to be your top line defensive, like that would be a really nice fit for him where he's not going to have the pressure of having to be the defensive guy and stuff like that. Yeah, that's, I don't like that, Joel.
It's too good for the Ducks. Well, but see, that's the thing too. Like, I don't think Anaheim takes Matejchuk, but I could see them taking Pickering at 10. So, like, I think
even if what if Nemeth or Yiracek's on the board?
I don't know that they will be, but
yeah, that's the thing. Okay,
but so that's like I think. I have to go and look at whatever. That's just my.
You're probably going to assume that Wright, Cooley, Nemeth, Yiracek, Slavkovsky are off the board. Those five for sure are going to be off the board.
And then who's from the big fighter for the Sens?
Oh, Cutter Gauthier.
Bigger.
And then from there, you've got a mixture of like Nazar, Savoy, Kemmel, Lekkerimäki, Lambert, probably.
See, that's what I mean. Like it's a big toss up, right? So it's
I think outside of Yiracek, Nemeth, Cooley, Slavkovsky, Wright, I think when you get to 10, those five are definitely going to be gone. And then from there, you could get any number. Like Marcus Kasper could go 7, 8. Why not?
There's going to, like, I know we talked about this last year. I know that it was just like, there's going to be some surprises, but like, this is the year where, like, I think when we go into it, like, people who really love the draft and people who really have expectations of what ranges where guys are going to go in, I think this year is going to just blow some minds.
This is the year for San Jose to be 11 because they could lay in the grass and hope that like Frank Nazar somehow comes to them. Or so
I am planning to be at the draft if I can be. Like I'm going to be in Montreal for it. So this is going to be the year where it's just a lot of like oohs and ahs and trying not to say anything stupid.
Love it. Last question. I know you're a WHL guy. We asked you last time who is the best WHL prospect, right?
I think so.
And you said Savoy, I believe.
It was between him and Kaczynski, I think, is what I said.
Do you have a definitive answer? This isn't my question, though. I got another one coming.
Yeah.
No.
fair. That's okay.
That's fair. Yeah. Again, this draft is so weird.
I think I'll maybe echo what I said last time, which is that like I said, you want to feel that feeling inside of you where you're comfortable in the range of it. Mm-hmm. And I've never been in the range where some people have had Savoy for different reasons. I think you could talk yourself into both those guys. I think if push comes to shove, I probably want Kaczynski, but like it's close.
Kaczynski's probably a better bet to give you NHL time, whereas Savoy is also 5'8".
Well, so see, here's the thing too, which is like the uncertainty that this is where I talk about the uncertainty that people got from Evan Bouchard in the sense of like, maybe we didn't even get an NHL player, like, you know, a year or whatever, but like Oilers fans really like humming and hawing about that. Like, I think that could happen with Kaczynski. Like there's a world where that happens. But to me, there's also a world that happens where where Matt Savoy it turns into a third line PK guy, where he plays
Nathan Gerby.
I think in the mold of like a more skilled off puck like Cali Yarncroc, where someone where he uses his speed and he uses his two way ability, because I like Savoy's two way ability like a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he works very, very hard. I just, you know, I worry about him being small and some of the problems that come with that. But he's like, even the other night I was watching him and he was kind of like, he was okay. Like there was moments where he was really doing well. And then like a puck came to him and he just didn't even think twice before it and just fired it as fast as humanly possible. And nice. I was like, this is what you need to do. Like, and so there's,
Savoy's a guy that could be there at 11. He could fall to 11 and Santa's gonna be like, great. Love it.
The very broad stroke of what I'll say of both of them is that there are clear places where both of them can succeed at the NHL level, and there are clear places where they have deficiencies. And so they're not, I don't think either of them are going to end up being a well-rounded player. Like, I don't think Korchinski is going to end up being your top, like a line because of like the shutdown pair, blah, blah, blah. Like he's a role player in the role that I'm describing. And I think you can get a great player there. And Savoy, in the right situation with the right line mates, with the right things, like I think you can put him on a top line and it makes sense if he has the right two guys with him. But if he doesn't, I think then, you know, there's some coaches that might want a little bit more of him at the NHL level too. This is just my thoughts, my like projections. I'm wrong a lot.
This is what we want. We don't know shit. We're just two idiots who don't scout anybody. Question I wanted to ask you though was your WHL. Yeah. Who's a riser or somebody who's near the top of the rankings commonly, that's a stay away for San Jose at 11?
A stay away? I don't want to answer that. Okay. As much as I love the nuance of like talking about these prospects and the ways that they might, you know, whatever, it's the same conversations that you would have them in. Like, these are the things we need to work on, right? Like, these are the things that we need to do to get you to that next level. These are ways we can overcome that.
Who wouldn't be a good value at 11, you think, that to rephrase it?
I think once again, like, depending on the situation they're going into with the right team, like, I think for the Sharks at 11, I think Korchinski can make sense. Like, I think that he's probably the one that makes the most sense for me. Mm-hmm. I could see Pickering, but I think it's a little too risky for me. If I want the Sharks to take anyone there, I think Korchinski probably is the pick.
Joel Henderson hates Pickering. You heard it here first.
I really like him. I've been championing him for so long. Like, so I just want to say this just because Owen Pickering, I saw him playing on Swift Current and they were not a great team relative to last year. And their defense core was kind of all over the place. And I was like, who is this kid, watching him play? Cause he was a ninth round pick in the WHL. Mm-hmm. And he was picked. He was 5'7", I think, something like that. And he's 6'5" now. So like, so he's a big boy. He can skate for days. And so like, and so he's one that I've just been like, Pickering, Pickering, Pickering. And now like, it's got to the point where people are like, is Pickering a top 10 pick? And I'm like, whoa, here. Like, so there's, I think it always kind of gets to the point where you get to the draft where you're really championing guys. And then people go, I like him here. And I go,
maybe pump the brakes. Pickering's
fantastic. Like, I think Pickering has as much NHL upside as anyone in this draft.
So. Craig Button had him 13. So Pickering is like 27, 20, 32, 36, 49, 13 by Craig Button, 15 Central Scouting North America, 15 by Sportsnet, 21, 28, 44, 50, and 46. So he's
I will say this. I think that there will be NHL teams that have Pickering in their top 10. So
nice. I'm gonna love this draft so much.
That's gonna be the best. Ottawa Senators picking Pickering at 7.
That's giving them too much credit. That's better than like the Tyler Boucher pick.
Well, see, once again, like, if we want to talk about these guys, like, I know this is about Korchinski, but you know, if you want to bet on Pickering is one of the best. He is an unbelievably good skater for someone who is 6'5".
We're gonna have to have you back on to talk Pickering, because Doug Wilson Jr.'s ears just like started burning somewhere in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes. Pickering is a very interesting case study, and he's a bit of a slow burn, but he could pay off huge.
Ooh, okay. Love it. We'll have to get you back on, but where can people find you right now and what do you got going on?
So I am with FC Hockey as well, doing some profiles and stuff there, doing some draft prep and doing some profiles for guys in Western Canada. And then I'm also the director of scouting for puck preps. And so that comes everything from draft prep to guys that are in the WHL now to kids as young as 14 years old. And so it's about, you know, finding them. And I, like, I'm just getting ready to put out our WHL draft list. I've got like a top 121 players that I've watched and really like for the prep for the WHL draft. And then some of the guys that are coming through now. So it's awesome to watch these guys kind of as they move and grow through, and you never know who's going to come from the ninth round and be somebody who's considered a first round pick in the NHL draft. So it's really, really fun. There's a lot of information there, and you can go there to at Puck Preps to find that.
And you also get to watch Connor Bedard.
That's right.
And your Twitter, and what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is DatHockeyDough, which is once again, it's just a play on words with people who are like, oh, football, baseball. And I'm like, yeah, but DatHockeyDough.
This is the most Saskatchewan thing that's happened on this thing. You can find us Locked On Sharks Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you like to watch, you can do that at YouTube, Locked On Sharks. If you just want to listen, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, Locked On Sharks. You can email us at lockedonsharks@gmail.com if you are 70. Where's Paul at?
I was gonna
Paul
say,
hasn't man. Emailed us in a while. Paul!
Paul's get the only one who could email us, yes.
Yeah, Paul's allowed. Everybody else, nobody emails us. JD is at my fry hole. Joel is at Dat Hockey Doe, and I'll spell it. DatHockeyDoe, like the animal.
Mm-hmm. Kyle is at Kyle Demetrius. Thank you guys for making us your first San Jose Sharks listen. Go check out the Locked On NHL channel if you want to catch up on everything that's going on in the playoffs, because apparently you don't like hearing us talk about the playoffs at large, you jabronis, all of you. Or go check out any of the other amazing podcasts on the Locked On Network, such as
Locked On Bears.
Bye, friends.
What do they got going on? Who could possibly say? Thanks, Joel.